are on the fly in the home builders area today, and specifically behind HQ, home builders headquarters, which is on Whitman Road, just about, a little bit north of Show Center, I guess. Just north of the Brown Arch and about half a mile, I'm guessing, something like that.
Huh? Just
And Greg Hughes is with us now, and Greg works for Vans Aircraft. And Vans Aircraft, for those who don't know, and I can't imagine anybody doesn't know who Vans Aircraft is, the RV series of home-built airplanes, which started a long time ago. Specifically, when do you know when Vans started?
So officially back in 1973, airplanes being built before that, but that was when the first RV3 kit would have been delivered, was right around 1973.
And Vans is out of Oregon, in the Portland area.
Right, we're in Aurora, Oregon, which is just south of Portland metro area. That's where our factory is, and it's been there since just about the turn of the century. And prior to that, it was on the west side of Oregon.
We're by an airport. Imagine that.
That's right.
Airplane noise. And so Vans, this Oshkosh is a huge deal for Vans, being the preeminent numbers-wise, number of airplanes, airframes. How many airframes are completed by now?
Right, and I mean, Oshkosh for us, AirVenture, is the event of the year. I mean, it's a very big event. We have, at last count, right at the beginning of the show, 10,524 RVs had been flown that we know of. And there are more that we don't know of, because those are only the ones that people tell us about in some way, shape, or form. So a lot of airplanes... Well, over that period of time.
There's still a lot of kits in garages, too.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of kits being built, a lot of new kits being sold, people that want to get building. The RV-14 has turned into a really, really hot seller. Right now, the RV-14 and the RV-10 are the biggest sellers, with a number of kits, you know, in close line right behind that. But business is good, and we have a lot of people that are really excited to build and fly RVs.
So let's talk a little bit about the history. And so we're all the way up to RV-14 now.
Right.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
So the first model was the RV-1, I'm guessing.
Well, so the RV-1 was a Stitz Playboy that Dick Van Grunsven, who became the founder of Vans Aircraft, did some modifications to. He decided he was interested in the home building idea. This was before the concept of kits in home building. Picked up a Stitz Playboy, wanted to make some modifications to it, and did that, and then eventually made enough modifications to it that it wasn't a Stitz Playboy anymore. It was really a more unique airplane, and he called it the RV-1, RV for Richard Van Grunsven, and design number one.
Okay, and then
after that came the RV, the concept of an RV-2, which has never flown, so that was a rather unique design. The RV-3 was the first commercially available airplane kit, if you will, set of plans and materials that you could actually build, so that you could go buy the plans, get the materials, and build the airplane from zero to airplane yourself.
And the RV-3 was a single-place airplane, right?
Single-place, single-seat airplane, a very beautifully handling airplane, a lot of fun to fly. A lot of people were interested in an RV-3, but they really needed two seats. And that's where the RV-4 came from. Contrary to popular belief, in some cases, the RV-4 was actually pretty much a clean sheet design. So there's concepts that were in the RV-3, but it wasn't like a stretched RV-3. It was actually a whole new design that was done. In fact, this year, is the 40th anniversary of the RV-4.
Oh, wow.
And over in home-built parking, there's a whole ocean of RV4s parked over there that flew in and parked together as part of the celebration that we're doing here this week for the 40th anniversary of the RV4.
Oh, that's great. And also a very nice flying airplane. I've had
beautiful,
the chance to
very
fly
fun
one
to fly airplane.
And yeah. And I think the reason that some people may be confused of it being like a stretched RV3 is because they do look fairly similar.
They do. And all the RV aircraft have a certain look to them, right? And they you can tell that it's a family. With the exception of one, perhaps, and we actually have that one here. It was a one-off airplane. I think I heard Charlie mention it earlier, called the RV-5.
Yep.
And we brought it here to AirVenture. It's never been seen at AirVenture before. It's very rarely even been seen in public before, but it's in the final phases of restoration. The only thing left is the engine is in the overhaul shop, so we have the old engine on it now, one of the old engines. That airplane will fly back in Oregon here sometime, we think, in the next couple of months.
Oh, okay. So the RV-4 is powered by a Lycoming, usually an O320, right?
Typically an O320 or a similarly sized engine, right?
So then what would the RV-5 bring to the
table? So the RV-5 was a design that was intended to explore the edges of the envelope from a design perspective in the mid-70s. So we're talking 1975. 1976 time frame. It was in the midst of the gas crisis, and Dick Van Grunsven took some RV3 plans and flipped them over on the side that had no drawings on it and started sketching what became the RV5, and joined with members of EAA Chapter 105 and others in the home builder community in the Portland area at the time, and as a group they built the RV5. And the idea was that it would be a very, very light, very efficient, portable type of airplane. During the gas crisis in the 70s, for people that were alive during the time, you know, we didn't know what would happen next. You know, there was gas rationing, which day you could actually go buy gas, depending where you live, was your license plate or your last name, first letter of your last name, things like that. And so it needed to be very light and very fuel efficient and be able to be affordable. So it's powered by a Rotax 447 two-stroke engine.
I don't think Rotax even builds those anymore.
Oh, no, they certainly don't. No. Yeah. They're still used and rebuilt and used in a variety of different use cases. But in this case, it's on the airplane. The airplane empty weight is only 316 pounds.
Oh, it's a baby.
So it's a very, very light airplane, and it can almost lift its own weight. So it's a really cool airplane. But what we learned from the RV5 way back then eventually was embodied in some of the key things, the design elements and the things that were learned from what was tried, ended up making their way into other airplanes. And that was really the intent with the RV5, was to build something that we could, I haven't been here that long. I've barely been alive that long. but to bring it in and to have it come into other airplanes. And if you look at the RV-12, our light sport airplane, there's a lot of things you see in the RV-12 that were first evaluated and discovered and tried in the RV-5.
So most people haven't seen this airplane. The RV-5, is it a side-by-side like the RV-6?
No, the RV-5 is a single-seat airplane. One person. Probably... I think Van says that maybe 40% of pilots, he guesses, could actually fit in the thing. I think I just barely fit, mostly from a width perspective. I think height-wise I'm okay, but it's located right over here, right across the street from the Van's booth.
That's it right there. 5 RV, okay.
Yes, November 5 Romeo Victor on there. Anybody who wants to see it is welcome to come by and take a look. Going to have a couple signs out there that explain some of the features of the airplane, or just ask us and we're more than happy to explain it.
Well, one thing I could see right away is it's kind of a high mid-wing design.
Yeah, so it's a mid-wing design. It's not a high wing or a low wing. So yeah. We say that we solved that problem in 1975, and people just need to know that. It's also a tipper slider, so you have to tip it up and then slide it back. So it's not a tip canopy or a slide canopy. It's also a combination of those.
Interesting.
It's not primed inside, so for those of us that are involved in the primer wars, that may or may not be an answer to that.
So then next is the RV6. That, of course, the RV6 became a very popular model because it was side-by-side.
Still the largest number of individual, for a model, has the largest number of any kit airplane ever built.
And then they, correct me if I'm wrong, but they also started adding the nose gear option to the RV6 model, correct?
Right, that would be the RV6A. And since then, we've had the 7A, 8A, 9A with tail dragger versions of, or tricycle versions of those. The RV10 is our big four-seat model. Which is only a tricycle model. The RV12 is a tricycle light sport. We mentioned that before. And then the RV14, and the 14 is available as the 14 tail dragger or the 14A nose wheel, which is the most recent, most technologically refined kit that we have come up with is the RV14. It's the most recent model.
Now it's a little interesting, right? The heritage. So the next model from the RV6 was the RV7, but the RV7 came later, correct?
That's right.
Because RV8 was similar to the RV4. It's just bigger.
So the RV8 is a tandem airplane like the RV4, so pilot in front, passenger in back, whereas the RV6 was the side-by-side. RV7 replaced the RV6. A more refined kit with some pre-punched holes and easier to build and some refinements to the structure. And the RV8 and the RV7 were pretty close to the same period of time. the RV10 and RV9 again in the same general period of time. We've actually had two different versions of the RV8. The RV8 fuselage, there's the original fuselage wing, there's the pre-punched fuselage, which is, so depending on which fuselage you have, you actually need to order different parts if you need a replacement part or something. But so a lot of people don't know that, but there was, the RV8 was had an original style kit from the 90s, and in the 2000s and the early 2000s, it was updated to a pre-punched, a little bit more refined kit style.
Now, one thing about the Vans airplane line is that they are metal, which means that people will need to learn how to buck rivets and
right.
do all kind of things.
There's some great opportunities here at AirVenture, the workshops that are taking place each morning and afternoon. You have the metal working, the metal making workshops. They're a great way to do something that's where you can start and finish during the workshop period of time and learn the basics of what it takes to build an airplane. And honestly, if you can get in there and you can build that little part, even halfway well, then you can learn the rest of what it takes pretty easily to build an RV. The whole idea with RVs, we talk about total performance, about speed and low speed and being able to land short and get off short,
yeah.
Controllability, but it's also cost, keep the cost down, right? But also make it simple. As the idea is to build for the common person to be able to build a really uncommon, really, really fun airplane.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Greg, and talking about the RV. One last question before you go. It might be a stumper. I don't know how many people ever ask you this, but in an RV6, your most popular model, how many rivets are there?
How many rivets are there in an RV6? I don't know the exact number, but based on what I do know, I would say it's probably in excess of 14,000 rivets.
Yeah, you're going to be bucking some rivets.
Yeah, you squeeze and you buck some rivets, definitely, when you build okay. when you build an airplane.
Well, thank you so much. Jay Monge, we're on the fly in the home builders area. And we'll come back and talk more cool home-built airplanes in just a bit. You're listening to EA Radio.